I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this week's episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast.
It can get us wrapped up in a narcissistically abusive relationship very quickly because now oxytocin, that bonding hormone, is now activated. So you need to step back and really look at the person and give it time. And if that person rejects you early on because you need to do that, they're not the right person for you. So really taking time to get to know the person. If they're texting you constantly, I had this one man who texted me. He wanted me to know all about his income and how much he was making and look at all the stuff that I bought with it. Look at this thing that I got from this place that I traveled to and that place. And it was just like, seriously, one picture after the next.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. We're so glad you're here. Thank you for listening and spreading the word. Last week, we made it to number 61 in the country under education and the Apple Podcast ratings. And we're just so excited about this movement that you can achieve success and happiness without the burnout and the overwhelm. And today, we have a very special friend of mine in the studio. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, Dr. Meg Hayward.
Hi. It's so great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It is so great to see you. I know we met in LA right before I moved back to Cincinnati, but we still formed a great friendship, and I was a part of your Toxic Parent Summit, and now you are in the studio of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. So let me tell my audience about your amazing background.
Okay.
Dr. Meg Hayworth is a transpersonal psychologist, a holistic chef, a best-selling author, and she helps ACONs, which stands for Adult Children of Narcissists, become ICONs, independent, confident, original, and naturally you. It is her iconic me therapy program that she does that with, and she offers online courses, hosts the Toxic Parent Recovery Summit, and has a YouTube channel. She teaches on the faculty of the Shift Network. She is the inventor of the whole person integration technique. She has been featured on NBC, Fox, and the LA Times, just to name a few. And she believes when you take healing into your own hands and rely on your own inner guidance, you can heal from toxic narcissistic relationships. So, Dr. Meg, tell us your story. How did you end up in LA? What made you become a psychologist? When was the chef period? Like best-selling author? Tell us a little bit about your books. Like, give us the Dr. Meg story.
Yeah. So, I was sick in my 20s, in and out of doctor's offices, and so by the time I was about 27, I was reading this article in the Washingtonian magazine. That's where I'm from. And my... Washington, D.C. Yeah. And so I was reading this article on holistic medicine, alternative medicine. And I was reading about chiropractic care. I could barely hold up this magazine. I was in so much pain from scoliosis in my upper back, and I would get these muscle spasms that would put me into bed for weeks at a time. And then I had all these other digestive illnesses. I had fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome. It was just one thing after the next.
God, that's a lot for someone in their 20s. That's when you're supposed to be at your healthiest.
I know. So I was really struggling. I looked great on the outside and people didn't really understand what I was struggling with, you know? So I would disappear for weeks on end because I would be, you know, super depressed and in bed. And so it was intense. And so I'm reading this article and I'm thinking, oh, chiropractic care, that'd be so great for my then boyfriend at the time because he has back problems. And then it clicked. I was like, wait a minute, you can't hold up this magazine. You're crying from the pain. you need help. And so that's when I took my healing into my own hands and I just started to listen to my inner guidance to help me heal, because the type of medicine I was using was just not working. I was just getting worse and worse with the different medications they were putting me on. I was even getting new diagnoses from the meds. So anyway, so I started going to the chiropractor and my whole life just opened up. She introduced me to nutrition, where I learned I had all these food allergies. She introduced me to yoga and meditation. And so then everything just started opening up then, and I started healing so rapidly. And then I got just obsessed with the spiritual side of everything too, because I thought, well, it's a holistic issue. I need to look at all the parts of me to heal this. And so that's when I started reading about mind-body medicine and getting into spiritual development and how I then became a transpersonal psychologist. So, and I became a,
Yeah, well, yeah, let's talk about the chef thing.
Yeah.
Order, did you become a chef first or a psychologist first?
It all started kind of happening together, basically. But I went through the psychology program first, while I was trying to develop all these recipes, because at the time, this is 30 years ago almost, at the time there was very little information about how do I make cake and chocolate chip cookies that's gluten-free and dairy-free. People really didn't even understand what that was at the time at all. And so I just started developing recipes. And then eventually I opened a bed and breakfast and healing retreat center in South Carolina. Yeah, where I brought in a chef who trained me, and then I started to learn more and more. I started writing my cookbooks and then teaching at Earth Fair markets in South Carolina, and then eventually at Whole Foods markets here in Los Angeles.
So you got your food or your recipe book at Whole Foods?
Yes, I was teaching at Whole Foods, and then I also had my books in Whole Foods as well, but that came later. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of the trajectory. So here I was working on my transpersonal psychology PhD, and then also developing recipes and developing this, you know, this whole chef background, where I eventually ended up being a private chef to celebrities here in Hollywood for about 14 years. Yeah.
Fun. Yeah, now, what does transpersonal psychology mean?
So transpersonal psychology is holistic psychology or spiritual psychotherapy. So I look at what I think is the most important part of us is that energy system, and it's the spirit, basically. And so I look at that first, because that's how we store energy emotionally in our bodies through the energetic field. And that's what I help people heal. And then I get to watch them transform much more rapidly, because we're really working with the only permanent part of you. It's that part that you bring in when you come into this life and you leave with when you go. So let's take care of it while we're here.
That is so beautiful. Now, I already asked you what was off limits before we hit record. Are you allowed to say which celebrities you cooked for? And if not, it's okay. Tell us what are the celebrities eating these days? Because that's my only weakness is boba milk tea and celebrity gossip. So I've got...
That's great. Yeah. So I haven't been working with celebrities since the pandemic, basically, but I can talk because I didn't, it was weird. Everybody else in the house had to sign an NDA and they didn't give me one. And I thought that was interesting. I guess maybe they super trusted me. I don't know, which of course they should. But, so I worked with Michael Weatherly from NCIS and his family for 3 years before he got his show in New York, Bull. And his family was fantastic. I just loved them. And the little kids, I love working with families. And so I also worked with Cody DiPablo from NCIS, Martin Lawrence Ballard, the $1 million decorator. He's Cher and Elton John's decorator. Just loved him. He was such a sweetheart. And then Hollywood's top business manager worked for 7 years, Harley Newman and his husband, Daniel Lamb. They were wonderful. I just really loved that career. It was so much fun being so creative with food. And Ryan Murphy, the producer of so many things.
I worked in LA, I auditioned for a couple of his projects. And
oh, you did?
I never got him. But if I would have known you then, right? I just, hey, while you're cooking your breakfast, tell him, you know, hire Rebecca.
Yes.
So tell me, what are the ways that the Hollywood celebrities are eating to stay healthy and energetic and fit?
Yeah, so eating real food, basically. Real organic food, gluten-free, dairy-free. A lot of them are doing keto diets or, you know, different types of diets like that, paleo. So I did healing diets for specific health conditions. And so I would have, you know, like I had some clients that, like one who had Alzheimer's, and we were able to reverse a lot of the symptoms through the diet. And he was also working with one of the top Alzheimer's doctors in the world, actually. So, and then I also would do low FODMAP diets for, SIBO, small intestinal bacterial
overgrowth. You healed back up. You healed Alzheimer's through the food.
Yeah. It reversed many of the symptoms.
That's
yes.
Incredible. I mean, people need to know about that.
Absolutely. Food heals. And I mean, it happened with me. I mean, just how quickly, within a week and a half of shifting my diet, like completely changing it, basically. And that was eliminating gluten, dairy, sugar, alcohol, oh my gosh, citrus, peanuts, basically the major allergens. Within a week and a half, I was very different. My body was healing so rapidly. But then I hit this wall because I still had tremendous anxiety and fear. And that was coming from the abuse history.
Yeah.
And so that's where I ended up getting into transpersonal psychology, even though I'd been like just reading about spiritual development and mind-body medicine and all of that. I mean, I just couldn't stop reading. I'd read like 5 books a week.
I love that you did a deep dive into both worlds, right? Yeah. You did a deep dive into the physical side of healing with the holistic food and the yoga. And actually, because I teach 7 pillars of abundance, you did spiritual with the yoga and the meditation, physical with the food, mental with getting your doctorate in psychology. I mean, you really had a huge shift. Were you 27 years old? Because that's the first Saturn returns when you did all that shifting.
Yeah, absolutely. It went from 27 to 30. During that time, I was really developing myself. And by 30, I was deep into the program and getting that moving. So, yeah.
So we are, after the commercial break, we're going to get more into narcissism and abuse. But let's just talk a little bit about your, because we love to hear about morning practice and your diet. And so what are you doing now? Like what is your morning practice?
Oh my gosh, mornings. So I'm not really a morning person and I'm okay with admitting that. Not all of us can be. And I decided, well, if mornings were I was kind of moody in the morning, what would make me happy? What would bring me joy in the morning? And so my morning routine now is I wake up, I meditate first. And then I go make my coffee and then I read. I love reading. Right now I'm reading a novel.
Okay. How long do you read for?
It depends on how much time I have that morning. So I'll set my timer. I'll have like maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes, sometimes more. It just depends. You know, like Saturday mornings, I'm going to read for at least an hour. So I just love it. It just really helps kind of anchor me in the day. And then I also do journaling, or I'll do manifesting journaling, gratitude writing, kind of just whatever I feel like moving towards that morning. So there's a fluidity to my morning flow that can change. And some mornings, you know, I get up early because we're doing something like this, a wonderful podcast. And so, you know, I just kind of readjust. And I'm not rigid about it. I think that's important to kind of
give yourself room to flow with it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what is your diet now? What kind of guidelines are you following as a holistic chef?
Yeah. So I'm still gluten-free and dairy-free, organic, real food. I do eat, you know, because I'm in my late 50s now. And so I do eat a lot of protein. Animal proteins, lamb and beef and some chicken. But then also a lot of vegetables as well. I don't eat very much fruit, maybe like blueberries is my favorite. Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, I mean, I live in Larchmont Village in LA and I go to Erin McKenna's bakery where I will get a donut that's gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan, you know, from time to time, a few times a month, maybe just because it's just, I can. That's so good.
Yeah. Gluten-free, dairy-free donut. I like gluten-free, dairy-free pizza. And because Friday's my cheat day. I call it Fun Food Friday. Uh-huh. So that's the day that I would have something like that. That's kind of fun. So yeah. Do you do yoga or exercise or walk so many steps a day?
Yeah, I love to walk. I have a dog and she and I go walking, but then I also just go for long walks with friends in the neighborhood and then I also do Pilates at home, and some light weights as well. So
amazing. Well, yeah. We are going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we are going to talk about narcissistic parenting. How do you know if you were raised by a narcissist? You are listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. We are talking with Dr. Meg Hayworth. She is an expert on recovering from parental narcissism. So how would somebody know, Dr. Meg, if they were raised by a narcissist? What are some telltale signs?
Yeah, so a lot of people think of a narcissist as this grandiose, larger-than-life figure, and sometimes they are that. That's a certain type of narcissist, grandiose. But one of the major things that lets you know that your parent is narcissistic is that they blame shift. They don't take accountability or responsibility for anything that they do. So they turn the blame on you, or you may be the family scapegoat where everything gets thrown onto you. They often don't tell the truth. You may think they are, but then as you start waking up to their narcissism, you might catch them in lies. Oftentimes they're affairs, lying, cheating, stealing, but they normalize these things and kind of almost talk the family system into, you know, like this is okay, or they justify it. I call it first name justice. So the first name of that narcissistic person in your life, they kind of set up their own justice system, basically.
It keeps moving and changing, right? The goalposts keep changing based on whatever they want to do.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all about them. That's another hallmark. Mm-hmm. Everything is about focusing on them, serving them. You'll feel used. And they may be super nice to you to get what they want, love bombing you, giving you all kinds of stuff, but they're going to use that against you. They also may pump you for a lot of information. You give them information about you, and then again, they turn those tables on you and use it against you eventually. So there's just all of these manipulation tactics that they use that can really just leave you feeling incredibly confused, leave you feeling used, leave you feeling like they never see you, hear you, or understand you. They just, because they're not really present with you emotionally, but they may be totally on top of you, watching your every move, criticizing what you're getting wrong. And then no matter how much you try to adjust yourself to get it right, you can't do it. It's because they set these impossible bars for you. And so you'll always feel like, I'm not good enough. I never get it right. And this is the programming that they program you with, because it makes you easier to control. And that's ultimately what they want, is control over you. It's insidious, and it really destroys the family system, and it can destroy sibling relationships because they're always trying to divide you from one another, pit you against each other. They may tell one sibling one story that's not true and the other sibling another one. She said this about you, and it wasn't actually true, but you don't check out your stories because nobody talks about anything because they're terrified. So it's just, I can go on and on with all the different things that they do.
Now, one of the things a narcissistic parent does is gaslight. Same with a romantic, any narcissist. would do that. Tell the audience, what is your definition of gaslighting?
Yeah, gaslighting isn't just lying to you. It goes beyond that. So basically, let me give you an example of what gaslighting might look like. So say you're with your parents, you're in the car, your narcissistic parent says, oh, you get to choose the restaurant that we're going to go to tonight. And then you say, well, you know, I want to go to the Chinese restaurant. And then, you know, you get to the place and it's a Mexican restaurant. But you said I could choose and I wanted to go to the Chinese restaurant. Yeah. I never said that. I never said you could choose where we were going to go. We're going to the Mexican restaurant tonight. And so then you're confused because they've just made you doubt your reality. They've made you doubt the truth. And that's something that they do on a regular basis. So they wear you down by making you doubt yourself. And that's one of the hardest pieces of it.
Because you're like, I thought I heard my parents say I could pick the restaurant, but then they're like, no, I never said that. We were going Mexican the whole time. It really, talk about crashing your self-esteem and your self-confidence. You're like, I can't even trust what I'm hearing. Yeah. So let's talk about how not only does it crash your confidence and your self-esteem, but having a narcissistic parent can make you physically sick. So let's talk about how that works and how you can heal holistically from having and this is also true because we talk a lot about romance here as well as parenting. It is also true that being in a romantic relationship with a narcissist can make you physically sick. And how do you heal holistically from that?
Yeah, absolutely. So now we know from science, from the Adverse Childhood Experiences study, it's the largest public health study ever done, that abuse prior to the age of 18, all different forms of abuse, and emotional abuse is one of them, is that it wears away at the body. So basically it lowers immune response because you're in an emotional wreck much of the time. And with a narcissistic parent, they specifically use 6 major emotions to control you with. They shame you, guilt you. They use rage to control you. They use anger, jealousy, and envy. And so they're throwing these emotions on you. They're not dealing with their own emotional inner life. It's your responsibility to take care of it, basically, as the kids. And then you've got your emotional reaction to that, which is often anger and hatred and fear. And so you think about how that wears away at the body over time. We also know from science, from the work of Dr. Candace Pert, who wrote the book Molecules of Emotion, that every single cell of your body registers an emotion when you feel it. So if you are in this emotional response for years on end of feeling shame, for instance, which is the densest emotion that we know of, then, you know, your body's breaking down. So what a lot of people experience is they may experience digestive disorders. Migraine headaches are a big one that we see a lot with narcissistic abuse. Throat infections, thyroid issues, autoimmune diseases, cancer are all big ones that we see because of the emotional root cause of those illnesses. And that's really what I focus on with my clients, is getting to that emotional root cause and helping them release that energy from the body. And then I get to watch them transform. I get to watch them no longer be attached to the shame and be afraid to, you know, shower with the light on. I mean, I've seen people not be able to do that, or they have to dress in the closet, or, you know, because they're so ashamed because that shame has been thrown on them.
That is a lot of shame. Wow. Showering in the dark.
Yeah.
And then do you give them holistic food advice too to help their body heal from narcissism?
Yes, absolutely. So I look at their current diet and how that's connected to the physical body too, because certain foods can cause certain symptoms. Just depending. I mean, it's in the U.S., we're looking at poorly farmed food, foods that have high pesticide loads, herbicides, fungicides, those things, and how that affects the body. So I know a lot about that and how that can affect the system. But But the food definitely helps support the body to heal itself while you're going through your emotional release therapeutic process.
And have you counseled people while they're still in relationship with the narcissistic lover or parent? Or do you, I guess you can't tell them what to do as a psychotherapist. So it's just up to them when and if they disengage, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't tell them, you know, you need to leave this person. You know, it really has to come from within.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, like I just finished a course with the Shift Network last night, and one of the students shared that he'd been in a 42-year marriage with a narcissistic woman, and he had a narcissistic parent on top of that. And it was really fascinating to hear. It's like, well, I'm staying, but because now I feel more like a sovereign being, and I now have strategies to use from the course, then he was like, I know what to do now, and I feel more solid in myself. And that's really where we need to get when it comes to narcissistic abuse, because we basically will give our energy just completely over to this person who's been pulling on it, you know, just pulling on it. But we don't know any different until we do, you know.
Is that very common for people with a narcissistic parent to have a narcissistic romantic relationship?
Very common. And it's because it got normalized. Mm-hmm. The treatment got normalized. And so it feels like normal treatment. So you may have somebody come in and sweep you off your feet and love bomb you. But that's like, you are used to that, you know, like, and then you think that's the fantasy relationship, but you don't notice from the love bombing that they're not really that interested in you. You'll feel more like they're collecting data on you, because that's really what they're doing. And then they start to chip away at you after they get through that whole love bombing first phase. So, and then by then you're in love.
Yeah. You're addicted to the love. So for the audience, what does love bombing, how do you define that?
So it's an excessive focus on an individual, maybe giving them lots of gifts, maybe compliments, maybe trying to make them feel like they're the most important person in the whole world. And sometimes that is genuine.
Mm-hmm.
But really what you need to do is kind of step back and look at the person more objectively. How are they treating other people? How do they treat the servers? How do they treat the person who parks your car? How do they treat their own children? Do their own children not talk to them anymore? You know,
how do they treat their dogs? Right. I mean,
exactly.
I feel like how you do one thing is how you do everything. And if you're so nice to, you know, your date, but then you're like, you know, cussing out the waiter, then it kind of shows a lot.
It really does. It really does.
How do you think a narcissist can keep their anger and their manipulation under wraps before someone is, oh my God, I'm with a narcissist?
Boy, are they adept at that. Yeah. Really adept at that. And that's where your intuitive sensing can really come in, because you'll start to notice like there's a fake feeling to this that doesn't feel genuine. But the timeline, it's different for each relationship. So basically they're manipulating you into their agenda. Mm-hmm. And as long as you continue complying with their agenda, everything's okay. But as soon as you start to step out of that, or step out of that fantasy idea they have about you, that's when the criticism starts coming. That's when they start blowing up at you. And then they may say, oh no, it's because I had such a bad childhood, I'm so sorry. And then you feel bad for them. You know, so there's all these things. So it can be, I've heard people say it was 2 years before they started to do the critical piece. For some people it was 3 months, 6 months, you know, but again, by then you're really hooked into that trauma bond, which is that chemical response that you have, that internal chemical response you have to the person.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 5 primary wounds of narcissistic abuse. And you are listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. And hit me up on Instagram. I'm curious. Are you in a relationship with a narcissist? Were you in a relationship with a narcissist? Did you have a narcissistic parent? what part of this interview is really hitting home, I want to know. Hit me up on my Instagram DMs, and I will be right back from this quick commercial break. All right. Welcome back, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman, taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And we're talking with an expert on healing from narcissism, Dr. Meg Hayworth. So, Dr. Meg, tell us, what are the five primary wounds of narcissistic abuse?
Okay, so the first one is self-worth. Because they chip away at your self-worth, I often talk about it as 1,000 tiny cuts that really create this open wound. And so you feel awful about yourself, you know, and your self-worth and your self-esteem is really how you view yourself. And we grow up thinking that we're bad people because that was just reinforced in us over and over and over again. So raising self-worth is a really important part of it. The wound of self-expression, that's another big one. Because when you have to focus on this narcissistic parent, it takes you out of your own self-expression. Now, if you were the golden child and you were doing something that the narcissistic parent really approved of, say you were an athlete and, you know, they got a lot of supply or a lot of energy from you for something you performed.
That's me. Hello, nationally ranked tennis player. Yes. So what about that?
Yep.
So exactly. What does that have to do with self-expression?
Yeah, so that's your self-expression. However, what can happen is, so you were naturally good at tennis, you enjoyed the game, but you also may have really performed to try to get that love from them. Because it was probably the only area of your life where you felt like, well, they're giving me attention here, but all these other things, they just don't seem to care about.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's your self-expression. But my guess is that there was something, because I know you, there was something even deeper and more powerful in your self-expression that you wanted to develop. But because you were so focused on trying to make them happy with tennis, you neglected those parts of yourself. So it might have been, you know, artist. You're obviously a healer, a helper, somebody who wants to transform people's lives, you know, and you wouldn't have been able to explore that as growing up because your narcissistic parent, I'm sure, would not have been okay with it. So that's where our expression becomes about what they want us to be and what they want us to do versus who we are. And then we have to focus on them all the time, always trying to take care of them, make sure they're okay. But they can never be okay because they're never going to be happy no matter what we do. So we don't even know what it is that we want, what we love, what's important to us, and how we want to express ourselves. And so we often don't know, well, what is my purpose? Who am I? Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? It wasn't really nurtured in you. So
this is so good. I'm getting so many aha moments because I had to quit tennis for 25 years because I didn't want to. I used to say as an 18-year-old, I don't want to just do something so they can brag about me at cocktail parties. I want to do something that genuinely lights me up. And I had to like take a 25-year hiatus, and now I'm coming back to it and just having fun doing it as a fun workout and to socialize. But it took me 25 years away from a sport to heal and to reframe it because it was such a part of their narcissistic fantasy. So what is the third area?
The wound of self-trust. Yeah, so we get really divided from our own inner voice, our own intuitive ability to trust our inner voice. Our intuition will be used to sense the danger in the room. And so we may identify as empathic and sensitive and intuitive, but we're feeling into what's wrong versus feeling into the goodness in ourselves and in other people. So basically, it's developing that intuitive inner voice so that it becomes ours, so that we can use it for our own self-expression, our own self-discovery, versus feeling like we got divided from it because we had to focus on that narcissistic parent.
We got questioned with all the gaslighting. Like, how do we trust ourselves when every time we say something and they're like, no, that's not what was happening. So we learned to question our reality. And then it's like, we don't even know how to access that inner voice anymore. So we'll go back to how we access it. Let's go to the fourth one.
Wound of identity, self-identity. So you can feel like all these things are sort of wrapped up together when you really look at them, because everything's holistic, right?
Right.
But your identity is who you are. And you can feel like, I've had people come to me and say, I have no identity. I don't know who I am. I don't know why I'm here. I don't understand what my purpose is. Like, they have no connection to that. But your identity is something that is unique to you. Only you have it. And there's so many different systems that can help you with understanding what your identity is. It's all inside of you, but you're not used to going inside. You're used to being external, because that's how narcissists operate. Everything's about how it looks to everyone else, how everything's transactional. So you may be kind of still in that transactional world, but going within and healing all these things help you to identify what your identity is, what your purpose and your meaning is. And that's a really important part of the healing process.
Well, how do people figure out their purpose?
There's so many different systems that can help us do that, that I like to refer out, because I don't, you know, I'm not an astrologer, but astrology can be really helpful in that regard. A hand analysis, I mean, really your identity's in your hands. That can be really helpful for you. Human energy design is another system that can be really helpful for you to really understand who are you, why are you here, and what's the purpose of your life. And that's something I also help people get into their own being. Something I like to bring up to them is, what did you do in your room when you escaped your narcissistic parent? What were the things that you loved to do? You know, did you go and read books? Did you go and write stories? Did you go and draw? Did you go and, one thing I used to do is so funny. I love talking about this. Is I used to have stuffed animal school. And so I'd line up all my stuffed animals and I teach them. And, you know, I'm teaching on the Shift Network now, you know? So it's, I love teaching. I used to write stories on my mom's typewriter. And so I've written, you know, 6 books. And so, so that was part of it. So, yeah. So it's just, think about those things, the ways.
Where were you? What were you doing when you were alone in your room, escaping from your toxic narcissistic parent? So, and the, what is the fifth wound of narcissism?
The fifth is the wounds of the physical body.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, how has, what's the emotional root cause connected to this abuse and how it's affected my physical body?
And how do we, we've been talking this whole time about how we heal from narcissism. Let's talk about this technique that you invented. Yeah. Tell us about the whole person integration technique and how that technique helps you heal holistically.
Yeah, so whole person integration technique is an emotional root cause kind of technique that we use. And so basically we're looking at, if somebody comes to me and say their anger is something that they cycle in a lot. So we may look at the angry part of the self and how they're holding that in their body, and say they're holding it in their heart, which is the center of your being. And then they see how it's, you know, it's constricting my chest and causing these pains. And, oh, wait a minute, I also have heart disease. Oh, okay. So they're starting to see the holistic connections around the anger, how it's affecting their physical body. And then we talk to the anger itself. What is it thinking? What is it feeling? What does it believe? So we get to that underlying core negative belief that it's holding. Maybe it's, I'm unlovable. And that's being held in the heart. That's the center of your being. It's the balancing agent of your being. So I'm looking at the energy system also, and the attributes of the energy system, and how that is all interconnected. And then we get them to the point where they see the holistic connections. They may have memories that start surfacing that are directly connected to the anger and to the belief of unlovability. And then we do this whole release process. And then we do a replacement process, which is really
what is important. The release process? Like once somebody identifies they have anger, this is a limiting belief, I'm not good enough, how do they release that?
Yeah, the release process really, we call upon the most loving part of the self, the loving self, to come in and do the healing, to come and bring love to that part of the self, because that's what has happened is we become divided from love. Because we're terrified or we're angry or we're feeling this emotion so intensely that it's literally become toxic to our bodies. And so it's helping to get them into that space of bringing love to the self. So I think of it as a self-forgiveness process and releasing yourself from holding that emotion, holding resentments, holding guilt, holding shame, these things that can really bring so much toxicity to the body. And once they let go of that, and they're letting go, they're the ones who are making the decision, you know, like, I'm ready to see that go. I see what it's doing to me, and I don't want to do that to myself. And then we do the release process, and then we do a replacement process. Because, and then that's your prescription when you leave me is, you know, you ask for peace, you ask for joy, you ask for love, you want that to flood your body. Because we know emotions can make us sick, but they can also make us well.
Yeah.
So let's bring on that emotional response and flooding the body with that energy. So I think it is deleting this old app and bringing in a new, more efficient, fabulous app that works really well.
It doesn't happen in one session. I mean, this is takes years. It took years to have the negative narcissistic voice internalized, but it does happen. You know, what would be a good timeline to tell someone who is starting to recover?
Yeah. So honestly, with the work that I do, it's 3 to 6 months.
Okay. That's worth it.
Yeah, it's rapid acting. It really depends on the person and where they are. And then people will come back for tune-ups over time. Like I have clients I've worked with for 27, 28 years that just come back as needed. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, they're seeing other practitioners. I always say it takes a team of healers.
Yes.
To heal from all these different things. It's not, you know, just one person is not going to have all the answers for you. But if this resonates with you, and if this is something you're interested in, you know, it's definitely worth looking into. There's so many different types of somatic therapies and energy therapies, and you know, exploring it's really, I think, an important part of the healing process.
I totally agree. So let's talk about dating. Mm-hmm. I know you're single right now. Mm-hmm. What are the absolute red flags that you will not walk but run from that are like, oh my God, Rebecca, I went out with a narcissist last night. So tell me and tell our audience, what are the red flags to look out for in the dating world when you are doing everything you can to heal from narcissism?
Yeah. So for me, I look at energy. I look at emotional energy. And so if I'm feeling somebody who's just like throwing this love on me, you know, just love bombing me, if I feel that kind of energy, it's almost like when you start to recognize it, you'll almost feel attacked by it. Mm-hmm. Or if you feel like you've like felt a man who's attacked you sexually, like sexual energy. They're throwing their sexual energy on you, trying to get you into bed right away. That's a non-starter. Mm-hmm. Especially for those of us who were raised by narcissistic parents, that could get us wrapped up in a narcissistically abusive relationship very quickly because now oxytocin, that bonding hormone, is now activated. So you need to step back and really look at the person and give it time. And if that person rejects you early on because you need to do that, they're not the right person for you. So really taking time to get to know the person. If they're texting you constantly, I had this one man who texted me. he wanted me to know all about his income and how much he was making, and look at all the stuff that I bought with it. Look at this thing that I got from this place that I traveled to and that place. And it was just like, seriously, one picture after the next. And I'm like,
why do people do that? Actually, I had a girlfriend text me the other night and she's like, this guy will not stop bragging about his success. And she was having a tough year financially. And she's like, it's actually, instead of making me like him, it's actually triggering me because I'm not having a good year financially. So she asked me, why do you think he's talking about his success? And I'm like, because he's trying to get you to fall in love with him. He's trying to show you, look, I'm a worthy candidate for dating. But why do narcissists do that? Just to like brag, or is there a manipulation underneath all that bragging?
It's a manipulation. It's always a manipulation with narcissists. There's dozens and dozens of tactics that they use, and that's one of them. And so they use that as a way to control you ultimately. But yes, they're trying to impress you. Mm-hmm. They think in transactional thinking and they think in externals. So to them, that's impressive. The stuff, the money, the car they're driving, all of that stuff. So they think that other women are going to think the same thing. And there are many women who do think that way. They just
there are many women who are transactional that are still trading sex and beauty for money and status. And that's okay. There's no judgment there.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a good match for a narcissistic person, you know?
Yeah.
So, but somebody with more depth who wants true intimacy, you'll start to notice it pretty early on that they're not able to really go in an emotionally intimate place with you. Mm-hmm. And that's a big red flag because, you know, for those of us who do want deep connection and lasting love, you have to be best friends with this person and you have to be able to form that emotional bond and they have to be able to sit with you and in your hard times and you sit with them. That's not something a narcissistic person can do. They'll try to fake it, but it won't feel genuine.
Well, I feel sorry for any narcissist who finds you on a dating app. You're like the Wonder Woman of the anti-narcissist. You're like, nope, you try to manipulate me. Nope, you just abuse the waiter. Like, no, no, no. They're not going to be able to manipulate you at all because you know all the signs. And most importantly, you know how to heal from narcissistic abuse. So tell our audience where you're hanging out online. Oh, tell us about your 6 books too, where to find your books and where to find you online and your website and any other things that you have to support people if they are either in a relationship with a narcissist and wanting to heal or ready to leave, or like we just talked about, they got out of one and want to make sure they don't end up with another narcissist.
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot of things to answer all at once. Yeah, I'm going to do my best.
I'm not trying to be a narcissist and overwhelm.
No, this is like really interesting stuff. And I know a lot of people need help in this arena. A lot
yes,
of people.
They do.
Millions. So my books, you can go to my website, meghayworth.com.
Spell that out because a lot of people are listening.
Yes, meghayworth.com. Also on Amazon, my book, Get Well Now, Healing Yourself with Food and the Power of the Mind. It's a holistic handbook. It really goes into depth about a lot of the things that I've talked about today. There's some of my books are out of print and I'm getting ready to relaunch them as a course. So that's the Becoming Me, the Stages of Transformation, Spiritual Transformation. Then I have like 5-6 different books that I'm a co-author of as well. So find them on my website. That's probably the easiest way to go. And then I have 2 more coming. So I love writing. What can I say? I have an undergraduate degree in writing. So at any rate, so there's that. And then if you go to my YouTube channel, I think that's one of my most empowering tools for people.
What is your YouTube channel?
It's at Dr. Meg Hayworth.
Okay.
So just go onto YouTube and just put Dr. Meg Hayworth in the search and you'll find me. Please like and subscribe, of course. But there's over 450 videos at this point on there about narcissism, about intuition, about how the body is affected by abuse. So there's a lot of different holistic healing help for you. And then I also have an upcoming course that I'm teaching. It's my Inner Circle course where I help teach coaches, therapists, healers, and heart-centered entrepreneurs intuitive development. And then they get certified in whole person integration technique as well.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Meg, for being on the show. And thank you, listeners, for being a part of this beautiful journey that you can achieve success and happiness through aligning your life in these seven pillars of abundance, which are spirituality, fitness, emotions, romance, mindset, social, and financial life. It's all about the alignment, not the hustle and grind. Keep spreading the word of the show. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. Level up, yeah, this is the